Good morning. I'm so thankful to be here, thankful that you're here. We have guests. We love guests, and we are appreciative of your presence this morning, and we hope that all of our members around you this morning will make you feel welcomed and will make you want to come back and be a part of our assembly every time that you can. This morning, as I think about what I want to encourage all of us to think about, thinking about our lives, I think about these young people that are sitting over here, and they are building their lives. They're going to school. They are with friends. They are playing. They are working. They are doing things that will help them build a life. They have to decide what kind of life they want to build. And as I look out across the auditorium, I see those of us that have grown a little bit older, and we are still building. We never get our lives completely built in this world. And so this morning, I want to share with every one of us some principles from the great book of Nehemiah. I don't know how many times I've preached messages from the book of Nehemiah, but it seems to always center around work. Life is work. Someone will say about me, boy, he is a work in progress. And that's right. He's a work in progress. And it always will be, no matter how old I get. If I have the ability to think and to work and to live, I will be a work in progress. So are we all. So this morning, as we think about this great message from the book of Nehemiah, I want us to think about being builders of our lives on the Word of God. The songs that Gary selected are excellent songs that encourage us. And I appreciated in Milton's prayer when he said, we direct our praises and our thoughts toward God. And I was thinking, and we direct the admonishing and the teaching of the songs that we're singing, not only to God, but to each other. That teaching and admonishing is directed toward us. God doesn't need that, but we do. And so we sing to teach and admonish, and the songs that were selected this morning were excellent songs to help us think about being builders of our lives and using the Word of God as a foundation. We're born to build. God intends for us to build on our lives every day. The most important birth that we have is not necessarily the physical birth that we have. Obviously, we wouldn't be here if it weren't for that. But once we come into the world, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You may want to discuss, does that mean the church, the kingdom of heaven? Or you may want to discuss, does that mean God's eternal abiding place? It's true of both. You cannot enter God's kingdom without being born of the water and of the Spirit. And God's Word makes it clear to us, makes it very plain that once we are born, we must grow. And that is what I'm talking about today in terms of building a life. In 1 Peter 2, beginning in verse 1, we're admonished to put away the filthiness in our lives, the King James Version says, and the overflowing of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word. That is, we are to take that milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. The King James Version says, unto salvation. Other translations just says, we desire that sincere milk of the Word that we may grow. We need to be constantly growing and building. You've heard, no doubt, this poem about being a builder or a wrecker, and that's where we are in our lives every day. The choices that we make either make us a builder, a proper builder, a good builder of our lives, headed in a direction of heaven, in a direction of being like God, or we can wreck our own lives. Now, I want to hasten to say, you cannot build without influencing others. But you cannot wreck your own life by poor choices without wrecking the lives of other people. An unknown author says, as I watch them tear a building down, a gang of men in a busy town. With a ho, heave, ho, and a lusty yell, they swung a beam and the side wall fell. I asked the foreman, are these men skilled and the men you would hire if you wanted to build? He gave a laugh and said, no, indeed. Just common labor is all I need. I can easily reckon a day or two what builders have taken years to do. And I thought to myself as I went away, which of these roles have I tried to play? Am I a builder who works with care, measuring life by rule and square? Am I shaping my work to a well-made plan, patiently doing the best I can? Or am I a wrecker who walks the town content with the labor of tearing down? Oh Lord, let my life and my labors be that which builds for eternity. That's what we want. We want to be builders and not wreckers. In that great Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus concludes it in Matthew chapter 7, he teaches us that whoever hears these words of mine, we need to be hearers of the Word of God. Whoever hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man. And we want to build our lives on that great foundation, the life and the message of Jesus Christ, our Lord. This morning, as we think about building on the Word of God, I want to take a look at a few qualities that we can see from, it's actually through verse 17 that I will be looking in Nehemiah chapter 8. As we look at these qualities, they are common to the Old Testament, they're common to the New Testament, and may God bless us to make them common to our lives. First of all, I want you to notice how these people who did a great job of building on behalf of God, they heeded the Word of God. For all the people wept, verse 9 says, when they heard the word of the law. Have you ever been sitting in an audience and you hear the message of God and the word of God touched you so much because of the way your life is that you were brought to tears? These people wanted the word of God so much that when they heard the word of God, they wept. And then in verse 12, all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and rejoice greatly because they understood the words that were declared to them. I can tell you, there are times when I've been studying something and I cannot grasp exactly what I want to say, how I want to introduce it, because I don't have a clear understanding of what I want to say. There's something in there that we say is on the tip of our tongue. But then I hear something or I read something and it opens my eyes to what I want to say about that passage. My understanding increases, and what a great joy that is. I'm elated at that. How about you? When we come to understand the Word of God. And then they obeyed. The whole assembly of those had returned from the captivity, made booths, sat up under the booths. For since the days of Joshua the son of Nun until that day, the children of Israel had not done so. And there was very great gladness. For hundreds of years, these people had not been doing what God says. And now they opened their eyes, they opened their ears, they took heed to the word of God, and they were doing what God says. They were ready to heed the word because the text teaches us they were hungry for the word. Did you come this morning thinking, man, I can't wait to get to that Bible class to learn something more or to rehear or to renew or to rethink? If we aren't careful, we're going to roll our eyes and say, man, I've heard that before. I don't need that. I don't need to hear a sermon on baptism. I don't need to hear a sermon on heeding and hungering for the Word. I've heard all of that stuff before. But what's the reality of your life? Are you really hungry to know God's Word? These people were. Now, all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. Did you notice I underlined, they told Ezra? They told Ezra. Ezra wasn't the preacher calling them together to say, listen, I'm a great speaker. I'm a good man. I want to teach you because I have the knowledge and wisdom. I have the Word of God. The people told Ezra. They told Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, and the Lord had commanded Israel. We need to be ready to tell men who speak the Word of God in public as a Bible teacher, as a preacher. We want the Word of God. You may have a great opinion. You may have some great thinking. But I want the Word of God. We need to be telling people, bring the book of the law. If you're going to teach me about life, you teach me God's point of view about life. I don't care what you think. I want to know what God thinks. And that's what these people wanted. They were hungry for the Word. In Psalm 19, beginning in verse 9, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. How much desire do we have for the Word of God? You see, I doubt if there's a person in this audience. There may be. But I doubt if there's a person in this audience that's ever really been hungry. I don't know how many times I've said, I think I'm going to die if I don't get something to eat. I know these young people have said that and thought that when they skip something to eat for 2 or 3 hours. Well, we're talking about going days without food. Hungry, we don't understand that. When we really understand hunger, what it's like, we're going to be different people when it comes to the Word of God. Job 23 and verse 12. Job, in all of his misery, said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. If I ask honestly, how many of you are hungry for lunch? Most of you would raise your hand. I would be among those. I didn't eat breakfast on purpose this morning. I do that a lot. But I'm hungry. I am ready for lunch. I will enjoy lunch. Will I enjoy the food of the Word of God as much as I will enjoy the hamburger or whatever it is I'm going to eat for lunch? You see, we need to be hungry people for the Word of God. They heeded the Word of God because they were hungry for the Word of God, and that led them to hear the Word of God. Verse 3 says, then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday. These people stood for hours. I was reading, because of Bill Wade, some information that he has been looking at about worship. And one of the things about worship that people are saying, we would like to do more of, here's something that would make worship better for me, is to stand occasionally. There's some people sitting in this room who have physical problems, who are tired, who are frustrated about life. And the song leader said, well, let's stand for this song. And some of you say, oh, here we are again. We got to stand again. Can you imagine standing for hours? You see, I appreciate the fact that some of you are physically limited and you don't need to worry about standing. I wish that every one of you who has physical limitations could be comfortable sitting while everybody else stands. You see, if you ask these young people over here, they'd probably like to stand about every other song to help them stay awake, to help them relax a little bit, to help them in some way. Can I tell you, I'm with them. And some of you are with them. But we need to think about hearing the Word of God, whether we're standing or whether we are sitting. Verse 3 says, the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. It's not about being attentive to Roy Sharp or Billy Smith or whoever's standing in this pulpit. It's a matter of listening to what God says and planning to put what God says into practice in our lives. And then we look at that Sermon on the Mount again. we hear the Word of God and we translate that into our lives by doing. These people heard the Word of God, and when they heard the Word of God, they honored the Word of God. All the people answered, "Amen, amen," while lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Can you, when you hear the Word of God, can you say amen to that? Or do you start trying to figure out some way of making that fit your life, the way you're living it, instead of trying to figure out how to change your life to fit the Word of God? You see, we live in a culture that wants to take the Word of God and turn it so that it fits their life. I don't have to do anything, man. Listen to my interpretation of what that says. We need to honor the Word of God as we practice our lives day by day. I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath, without doubting. We need to be living our lives praying and living without wrath, without doubting, but honoring the Word of God. Why? As we take a look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, God said in both Testaments, "You be holy." That is, you be different. You be set apart. You be holy. Why? Because God is holy. And our lives need to conform to the way God lives life. We need to honor the Word by the way that we live. And when we honor the Word of God, we're going to handle the Word of God in the right way. Verse 8 says, "They read distinctly from the book and the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading." As we understand the Word of God, we need to handle it in the right way as we look to that. We read often 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. The King James Version says, "Study." The New King James Version says, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing," handling right is one translation, "the word of truth." We need to use the word of truth not to beat people to death, but to love them and encourage them and to get them to build their lives on the Word of God. And so we need, as Paul encouraged Timothy to do in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 4, preach the Word. If you're going to build your life on the Word of God, you're going to need to know what it is. Billy Smith and Roy Sharp, or whoever else stands in this pulpit, has no business preaching anything other than the Word of God. We may need to try to give some sense to it. We may need to try to explain and give some background. We may need to do those things, but it all must lead to the preaching of the Word of God. And we need to do so trying to convince people to build their lives on the Word of God. In every season of life, at every stage, at every age, at every circumstance, at every problem that exists in this congregation of God's people, preach the Word and use the Word of God to help you convincing. But there are times when we need rebuking. We need that. I get that. A member of this congregation who no longer worships here came to my house one time and said, "My dad has been in the hospital for 4 days and you didn't come." And all I could do was say, "You're right. I had not been there. I've been rebuked. I need that. I needed to hear that from him because his dad was very important to me. I've known his dad many, many years. That was important. I needed that encouragement. I needed that rebuking." But you see, the rebuking needs to be followed by encouragement. And that's what we need as we listen to the Word of God. My hope and my prayer this morning is that all of us recognize that we're born to build and that we are wanting to heed the Word and be hungry for the Word. And when we hear the Word, to honor it. And that all of us, as we live life in our own lives and as we deal with the lives of other people, will handle the Word of God in the right way. And so we look at ourselves this morning as we sing about this fountain that has flowed freely. The blood of Jesus Christ has been shed so that you and I might be born into the family of God. Repenting of our sins, being buried with Christ in baptism, having our sins washed away, born into the family of God, and living and building every day on the Word of God. Our hope is that if you are in this audience and you've never been baptized into Christ, that you will want to do that. We want you to do that because we love you. And if you're a child of God who's been unfaithful, we love you. We want you to come home to the Lord. If you are part of this congregation and you've gone away, we want you to come back. And that's why we're singing this song, to encourage you to come as we stand and as we sing.